Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message. All right. Good to be with you guys today. Hope you guys are doing well. It's warmed up a little bit, so that's been good. It's a really nice, warm 25 degrees out. Love that, right? All right, here's what I want you to do this morning as we get rolling with what the sermon's going to be today. Think of anything you do in a given day, like literally anything, because almost everything you do in a given day has some sort of preparation process. You prepare for something, you practice for something, whatever that may be. It starts in the morning, right? Your morning routine is your preparation for the day. So if I were to ask you right now, what is your morning routine? What would it be? I assume it's probably often the same thing each and every day, right? Let me give you a little bit of insight into my morning routine. So my morning routine, here's how it works. Alarm goes off. It's always got to be the giant stretch, right? And you got to let out a little noise with it too, right? It's the... right? Okay, every day. That's every day with me, okay? And then I get up, got to go to the bathroom. Always, it never fails. I always have to go to the bathroom, right? So I go to the bathroom, all right, and then here's my process. I put my contacts in, then I start the shower. Then I go and brush my teeth. Then I get into the shower as the shower has then warmed up while I was brushing my teeth. Okay, get into the shower, then I dry off, then I go get dressed, then I come back to the bathroom, put on deodorant, little hair cream, little style, okay? And then I go back into my room, I pack my workout clothes for after work when I go to the gym, all right? Then I go to my fridge, I grab one thing of yogurt, an apple, and I'm out the door in 20 minutes. Anyone else you can relate like that quick? Some of you in here are like, 20 minutes? That's impossible, right? All right, let me just tell you guys, it is possible. 20 minutes. 20 minutes. That's all it takes me, right? That's my morning routine. But any other thing in your day, or even the things that maybe don't happen every day, have some sort of preparation. Think about this, right? With school, what do you have to do to prepare for school, right? You got to study. You got to do your homework. What about sports? You got to practice. What about, let's say you're in a play, right? Got to practice for that, right? Go to after school practice. Maybe for some of you, you guys are video gamers. I know you got to prepare by getting that perfect setup, right? All right. You got the Mountain Dew on the stool. You got the perfect chair. You got the headset on. You're 2 feet from the TV, right? Perfect, right? That's the video game setup. Everything takes preparation. Why do we prepare? Why do we prepare for things? Because when the big moment comes, when we've been preparing for this all of our life, when that big moment happens, we want to be ready. We want to be ready. We want to be ready to perform and have success, right? Let me go back a little bit, give you a little insight into myself playing sports back in high school. I always had a pre-game routine. Without fail, before games, I had a pre-game routine. I'd go home, and I'd immediately go to my room, and I'd lay out all of the clothes, my uniform, stuff I needed for the game. I'd lay that on my bed. Then I'd go downstairs to my living room. I'd put in the movie Hoosiers. Okay? And I'd watch the movie Hoosiers as this guy, Jimmy Chitwood, is making buckets. And I'm like, that's going to be me. It's going to be me today. All right? And I eat my turkey sandwich. All right? And after the movie finishes, it happens, finishes right before I have to go. So I leave for the gym. I go. I get there a little early because we had to watch the JV game. All right. I get dressed. I go watch a little bit of that game. Then at halftime, I go in to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom because sometimes you're a little nervous. Sometimes I would puke before the game because I got a little nervous. All right. All right. And then I would take a couple Tylenol because I have really bad ankles. All right. That was my pregame routine. Without fail, I did that before every game in high school. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Because in the story today, I like to think that the people we're going to be talking about this morning, as we finish up this series on serving, I like to think that they had a pregame routine, a little bit of a pregame ritual. So this last week, we're in our serve series, and right, we've been following along with the people of God, All right, so if you've been with us, you know that the people of God, they've been freed from years and years of slavery, right? But they haven't just been freed to go and do whatever they want. No, they've been freed so that they can go and serve God. And if you remember, this was a people that have never been free before. This was a people that for all their lives, all they've known is captivity and slavery. And not just that, but this is still a sinful, broken people. So God said, I can't just let you go and do whatever you want. I need to put a system in place. I need to put a system in place for you, the people of God, to be able to have a relationship with me. All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, we're not going to be in Exodus this morning. Actually, we're going to be in Leviticus. Leviticus, starting in chapter 8, we're kind of going to be jumping around and kind of just overseeing like all of like three chapters, all right? We're going to be in 8, 9, and 10. But really, we're just going to focus in on a couple of verses. But I want you guys to have your Bibles at least open to Leviticus chapter 8 this morning. All right, so let's get a little context. Where are we at in the story, right? We've talked about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was this giant tent that basically sat in the middle of the camp, and that was where God would come and rest and be among his people, right? That God would come in this place, and everyone would be around the tabernacle so that God could be among his people. But God did this because he wanted to have a relationship with them. Remember, this is a broken, sinful people, never been free before. They don't know what they're doing. So God says, I need to make a way for me to have a relationship with you. Because if we want to know something about God, God and sin can't go together. All right? They are separate. God and sin are separate. But God's like, this is a sinful people, and I want them as my people. So how can I make them have a relationship with me? So what God did is he put this system in place, right? We may have heard of this, how people would offer sacrifices. You'd offer a sacrifice to atone for your sins so that you could draw near to God, so that God could be near to you. Well, there had to be a specific set of people that accomplished this. All right, so this morning we're going to be talking about priests. Priests. What were the role of the priests? What were the role of the priests and the people of God? Priests were the mediator between God and his people. What they would do is they would represent the people of God. We'd go to God and we'd represent them saying, hey, we are the people of God coming to you. And what they would do, their job was to be the actual ones that offered the sacrifices. They'd kill the animal, they'd bring it before the Lord, and they'd offer it to him. Because, and we've talked about this a little bit, right? The harshness of sin. That sin was really messy. God and sin completely separate because sin was disobedience to the perfect righteousness of God. And so there had to be a punishment for sin. The punishment of sin is death. Death, right? And so how God made a way for his people to come near to him is he said, hey, you need to kill an animal so that that blood can be poured out and restore this relationship. See, what God was doing here was he was both allowing them to repent of their sins, to get rid of the sins, but also establish what we call a covenant. A covenant is a relationship with two people that God says, I promise to forgive you, I promise to be close to you as long as you keep up your side of the bargain, which means to repent and to obey me. Right? And so what God did is he called Aaron. Do you guys remember Aaron? Aaron was Moses' bro, right? He was the guy that would speak for Moses because Moses is like, I don't speak that well, right? So Aaron would speak for him. Aaron and his sons are going to be the ones that offer these sacrifices to the Lord. And guys, let me tell you, this was a crazy important job. Like, imagine the pressure on Aaron and his sons. You guys have to represent these millions of people. You are the three people that are representing them. And guess what? If you don't fulfill your side, if you are not prepared to offer these sacrifices, guess what? The entire people of God gets punished. That's a lot of pressure on these guys. But there was a process. There's a process for these priests in terms of how they're going to come before the Lord because they have to prepare themselves. They can't just bring their sinful nature to God. No, they have to prepare themselves, which is where we get to what I think a little bit of a pregame ritual. All right, and so here's what I want to do this morning. There were four steps in terms of preparing the priests for coming before the Lord and offering sacrifices. And so what I have for us today, I have four stools that are going to represent each step. And I've got a little prop for each of these stools so that we can kind of understand what these steps were. Okay, so we're going to walk through them one at a time. Let's start with the first step for the priests in their pregame ritual in order to be prepared to bring a sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 8, starting in verse 4. So Moses followed the Lord's instructions, and the whole community assembled at the tabernacle entrance. And Moses announced to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded us to do." Then he presented Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. Okay, he washed them with water. I've got my handy-dandy bar soap. This is not bar soap. This is hand soap. Okay, you guys aren't paying attention. Come on. All right, here's my hand soap. All right, using lots of this these days, because COVID, right? Okay, no, I guess not. All right. Okay, oh man. This is why COVID is running rampant, okay? Because we're not washing our hands. Come on. Okay, so here we go. Soap to represent that Aaron and his sons washed themselves. They had to wash themselves clean to prepare themselves to come before the Lord. Okay, what's the next step? Verse 7. Moses to Aaron, he put the official tunic on Aaron and tied the sash around his waist. He dressed him in the robe, placed the ephod on him, and attached the ephod securely with its decorative sash. Then Moses placed the chest piece on Aaron and put the Urim and the Thummim, inside it. He placed the turban on Aaron's head and attached the gold medallion, the badge of holiness, to the front of the turban, just as the Lord had commanded him. So, next step, I brought my handy-dandy sport coat today, okay? Because he clothed Aaron and his sons. So first, he washed them. Then he clothed them. All right? Third step, Leviticus chapter 8, starting in verse 10. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, making them holy. He sprinkled the oil on the altar 7 times, anointing it and all its utensils, as well as the wash basin and its stand, making them all holy. So the first step was to wash them with water, wash them clean. The second step was to clothe them. Then the third step is what we call consecration. It's a big fancy word, but which basically means he had to make the place holy. He had to make them holy, had to make the place holy so that they could come before them. I have a 3-hole punch. Make them holy. You get it? Ah! I laughed when I thought of that. Okay. All right. So, he washed them, he clothed them, he made them holy. And then the final step, Leviticus 8, verse 12. Then he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, anointing him and making him holy for his work. I have my lightsaber today. It turns on. Okay, all right. Because the fourth step was he made them Jedi Knights. No, I'm kidding. All right? He anointed them. So my mind was like, okay, kind of like in those movies where like I dub thee fit for the task. Though I was thinking of like, why would I do a lightsaber? Because if you're doing that, you cut off both arms. I dub thee no arms. Right? Okay? But basically, what Moses did for Aaron and his sons is he appointed them. He anointed them and he appointed them the priests. So maybe you think of a Jedi apprentice, he anointed an apprentice to become a Jedi knight or a Jedi master, right? So he anointed them. So he washed them, he clothed them, he made them holy, and he anointed them. Each step in the process prepared Aaron and his sons to do this most important work for the people of God because they had to represent the entire people by offering sacrifices. And if Aaron and his sons did not fulfill this side of the covenant, then guess what? The entire people of God was punished. This was a huge task here. It was not a light task. So of course, careful preparation had to happen here. But let me just, what in the world are we talking about this morning? Why in the world, in the week closing out serving, are we talking about the preparation of the priests? What does that have to do with me as a high school student? Why are we talking about this morning? Because some of you may be asking, is this the process I have to follow? Like, is this the process in order to follow God? I have to take a shower, I have to clothe myself, I have to be made holy, whatever that means, and I have to be anointed? Like, that sounds too complicated. And here's the thing too, like, am I like the priest, and if I don't follow God, if I don't obey him, does that mean I'm going to be punished severely? Is that what we're talking about here this morning? It's not, and I want to offer you why we're talking about this morning. I want to jump to the New Testament real quick, okay? Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. It's back towards the end of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 5, because we're going to get insight this morning as to why we might be talking about the preparation of the priests when it comes to serving God. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it's going to start by sharing a little bit about the priests again. Chapter 5, verse 1, every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins, right? We talked about that. And he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. But here's the thing. No one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Verse 7, "And while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. And even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And in this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. And he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him." You want to know why this passage this morning is so important? Because the passage this morning about Aaron and his sons becoming priests was a foreshadow for what Jesus would do for you. That Jesus is the ultimate high priest here. That we look at how Moses washed Aaron and his sons. In the same way, Jesus, by going to the cross, he washed each and every one of you from your sin. But not only did Jesus just wash you, but he also clothed you. And he clothed you with clean, fine, white clothes, perfect clothes. He clothed you. He didn't leave you naked and sinful in the dark, but he clothed you. But he didn't just wash you. Jesus didn't just clothe you, but Jesus also made you holy. That even in your sinfulness, even in your brokenness, even in the shame you guys may feel, did you know that God, by going to the cross, Jesus, by going to the cross, said, "You are now made holy"? But it didn't just stop there. We get to the final one, that Jesus didn't just wash you, he didn't just clothe you, he didn't just make you holy, but did you know he also anointed you to do something with that? He anointed you to do a work. You can't just say, "I'm anointed," but God calls those. God calls those who he has anointed. But here's the thing. We see this, that Jesus washed us, that Jesus clothed us, that Jesus made us holy, that Jesus anointed us for a good work. And there's this huge problem for why we get following Jesus so messed up. And that thing is because we think in order to serve God, in order to follow God, in order to be a Christian, we have to be a certain person. We have to act a certain way. We have to be this certain status. And let me tell you, the world has just totally warped what we think of Christianity, because the world, that's how that works. Think about it. Everything we have says you have to be a certain thing, you have to act a certain way, you have to be at a certain status. You don't believe me? Think about popularity. If you want to be popular, you know what the world says you have to be? Says you have to be attractive. Says you have to be well-liked by everyone. Says you have to be funny. The world may, if you want to be on the basketball team, what does the world say? That you have to be athletic. That you have to have skills. If you want to have lots of friends, the world says, well, you got to be super funny. And you can't be a jerk, and you got to be nice to people. Right? And if you want to be famous, the world says you got to work hard, no sleep, grind never stops. Right? That's what the world says. You have to do certain things. You have to be a certain person. You have to act a certain way in order to receive those things. Only Jesus can come and say, hey, you, yes, you, in your brokenness and your sinfulness and your disqualifications, yeah, you, you're qualified for my kingdom. That you don't have to act a certain way to be washed. That you don't have to be a certain person to be clothed. That you don't have to act a certain way to be made holy. That I have anointed each and every one of you that comes to say, I want to be a part of this. Jesus says, great, I died for you. He did all of this for us by going to the cross. Now, what do we do with this? Okay, we're talking about the preparation of the priest, that this was a foreshadow of Jesus, that Jesus has called us all of those things. He's made us all of these things by going to the cross. What do we do with this? Because the priest had this pregame ritual, I like to think. This pregame preparation in order to go and serve people. That they had to prepare themselves. They had to do all of these things in order that they might come before the Lord and prepare and do this incredible, incredible work. And Jesus did all of this. He did all of this preparation in your life so that you can sit on the couch and watch Netflix all day?
No.
No. So you can scroll TikTok for hours on end?
No.
So you can just do whatever the heck you want to?
No.
That's right. Hey. No. Right? Think about that. We waste the sacrifice. We waste the preparation that Jesus has done for us if we choose to see all of this and just go and sit on our butts and not serve anybody. Right? That God has prepared us. He has prepared us to do a good work. Do you guys know what Ephesians 2, chapter 10 says? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has prepared a good work in each and every one of you. He has done all of this preparation so that you can go and you can serve his kingdom. Let me just ask you this. What if we lived every day in the confidence that Jesus had prepared us for a good work? Let me just tell you, it would change how we talk to our friends about Jesus. Because if we're going into a conversation with someone that isn't a believer, but I know that Jesus has prepared me for this conversation, I think I go into that with a little more confidence. It would change whether or not I choose to go serve in Eastview Kids because Jesus says, I have prepared you for that. I have prepared you for a good work. It would change how we choose whether or not to open our Bible every day if we know that Jesus says, I have prepared something for you if you open up your Bible today. It would change every part of how we follow Jesus. Jesus has washed each of you clean. He's clothed you with righteousness. He's made you holy, and he's prepared you for a work to do. What are you going to do with that? How about serve? How about serve this God that would do this for you? Here's the thing. As we close out this series, and we're talking about preparation, this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to find a place to serve. And for those of you here in this morning that may be feeling that Holy Spirit nudging, that it's time to stop ignoring the ways that Jesus has prepared you and to do something with that, then let's take a step here and let's find a spot to serve. Let's find a spot to take that preparation that Jesus has done in our life and choose to serve. And you know what? It doesn't have to be here at Eastview. It doesn't have to be here in a little bit, we're going to offer some of those opportunities, and it could be, and if it is, that's great. We need some help. But really, guys, this is a call. This is a calling that Jesus has anointed each and every one of you to serve wherever you are. That might be at home with your parents or your siblings. That might be at school. That might be a friend you know that's in need. Here's the thing, and I love how things just tie together in these services because Ruthie hit the nail on the head when she was talking about this. That we love because Jesus first loved us, and we serve because Jesus first served us. And you know what? He's prepared us for this good work that we're going to do. Are you guys in on that? I'm in on that. Let me pray. God, this morning, we want to thank you that you have done all of these things for us. Jesus, by going to the cross, you have washed us clean from our sin. You have clothed us with righteousness. You have made us holy, and you have anointed us to go and to serve your kingdom. And God, I pray this morning for these students that they would rest in the fact that they don't have to act a certain way, they don't have to be a certain person in order for you to choose them and anoint them. So God, I pray this morning that our students would rest in that confidence and they would remember that Jesus did this for them, that they may go and serve you well. God, thank you so much for your son Jesus and his sacrifice. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.